what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have to rise above challenges and find strength in the midst of adversity.
We are in a battle of good versus evil.
Satan is the father of confusion.
I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to keep calling them out.
They're berserk trying to disarm Americans, and we need to push back.
I'm glad you're fighting for America.
There's always hope.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. I'm so glad you're here. I love this country, and most likely you do too. But you know, it's hard to watch our land of the free and home of the brave death spiral downward into the land of lawfare and the home of open borders for all. But the good news is that you and I are still Americans. This is still our country. And we have not only the duty and the honor, but we have the obligation to stand up and fight for it. That's what my friend John Schneider believes too, and he wrote a new single about it. Take a listen.
It's a duty, it's a right, an obligation to stand for her and fight, for she's our nation. That's why we won't give up. Hell no, in this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me, brother. I believe she's worth it.
Joining me live now, actor, filmmaker, and musician John Schneider. John, welcome.
Hey, thank you so very, very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, we are, we have an obligation to fix the problem. We have an obligation to call out the problem. We have an obligation to do whatever we can to save this country. Because obviously, you know, we were talking before we were on the air here. The last time we spoke, we both, I think, would have said that we thought it had gotten as bad as it could possibly get. But day by day, by day, by hour, by minute, it gets worse and worse and worse. Because the inmates are in charge of the asylum.
Yeah, it's such a shame. And I got to share with you, one of the things that Ted does, like when he has a brand new song or he listens to a song that really moves him, he'll go, yeah, look at the goosebumps. I got,
oh, absolutely,
listening, watching your video just now and listening, I have massive goosebumps. You hit the nail on the head there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I wrote that song with a buddy of mine because it seems to me, I'm 64 years old, and it seems to me that there's always been a generation gap, what we called it when I was a kid. There was a generation gap, and the children always had to sit on a certain number of stoves and burn their butts before they realized, oh, well, this is the truth. This is not the truth. You know, everybody had to figure out their own way. But it seems to me that this current administration, and I use the term loosely, this is the first time in my lifetime that the youth are being intentionally misled and de-educated by the folks who know better. You know, for nefarious reasons, obviously. You know, obviously this administration has been bought and paid for, and they have in kind sold our country out to the highest bidder. And it's disgusting to me. And it should be disgusting to everyone who is a citizen of this great country. And you must know that we have to do something about it. You know, in voting, yeah, of course, we have to vote. But we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared just in case they do it again. I don't think they will. I think we will show up at the polls. We will show up at the voting booths. In numbers the likes of which the left has never even imagined. But in case they've got something going on that we're unaware of, we need to be prepared for that and take our country back.
Yeah, we absolutely have to. I'm only a couple years younger than you. And I remember growing up in the 70s and 80s, boy, did we have it good back then, right?
We did. We did. But, you know, I think, I mean, I hate to harp on the fact that I believe that the Biden administration in general and the Biden family in particular has sold our country to China. They've sold our country to the highest bidder. That never would have occurred to me back in the, I was born in 1960. So there was no administration that I ever would have thought would have done that. There was no administration in the 70s I thought would have done that. I think we started to lose quite a bit of our credibility with the Clinton administration. And then, of course, we lost, I think, most of our credibility altogether with the Obama administration. And it's arguably we are now in the third term of the Obama administration. But when President Trump, pardon me, I don't want to call him Trump. I think that's degrading to him. And I think he's the greatest president we've ever had. When he was our president, we had opportunity. You know, America is supposed to be the land of opportunity. It's not supposed to be the land of a free lunch. So if you are someone who has a dream, you are someone who has a goal, you are someone who gets up in the morning with a weight on the balls of your feet, ready to go, then we had a country where this was the country for you, you know? And now, I heard you ask the previous guest a question. Why don't we make the students who are currently rioting in these halls of higher learning, why don't we make them pay double their tuition? Let's have them pay the student loans off. How about that instead of you and me?
And did you hear the latest news that Biden's going to use our tax dollars to repay, you know, people who went to art school for their college loans? Because why not? Why not spend our money, right?
Well, as long as their art wasn't conservative, I'm sure that he would like to do that. He's just buying votes. He's buying votes. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting. For him, for his political future, I guess it's necessary, but we can't allow people to fall for any of that nonsense. You know, we have all these millions, what is it, 15, 16, 17, I don't know how many million, everyone calls them illegal aliens, but you know what, there are no laws currently being enforced, or there are no laws currently keeping them out. So I don't even know if calling them illegals is proper. This administration has done everything they can do to destroy our country. And they've done a very good job of it. So folks, if you are a patriot, if you love this country, you have got to put your big boy, your big girl pants on. And you've got to realize that it's up to you and it's up to me. It is up to us to fix this problem and then to maintain the solution so that this never happens again.
You know, John, you and Ted are two of the only people that I know in the entertainment industry who are so outspoken. I've seen a lot of Ted's peers or friends. They won't touch politics. They've invited Ted to come on their podcast, but they say, don't talk about politics or we'll cut the feed. And so thank you for speaking out. Thank you for being bold and brave, which is what we should all do. But I know, you know, you're putting yourself out there and so many of us appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, I can't help it. You know, I love this country. I love the freedoms that people have died for, that they've given me. I love the freedoms that many Gold Star families, they've sacrificed their loved ones for my freedom, for your freedom. I will never take my freedom for granted. So we have got to maintain, we've got to get it back. We're long past the maintenance business here. They have destroyed the country I grew up in, that you grew up in, that Ted grew up in. We have got to take it back, and then we have got to keep it safe. We've got to keep America free. We have got to make America great again, because this country is the single greatest exercise in freedom and a constitutional republic that the world has ever known. We will survive this, but not without doing the work.
Yes, you are spot on, my friend. Thank you so much. I know you've got a couple of other projects going on. I got about 30 seconds. Tell us about the moonshine.
I have a moonshine called John Schneider's Revenuers Reserve. You go to revenuersreserve.com. There it is. Yep, it's as natural to me as bow hunting is to Ted. So check that out. Check out the commercials. You want to know about me, I have an app. It's a free app. It's called John Schneider. It'll work on your iPhone or on your Android. Check that out, and I appreciate it. But get to vote. Okay. I
John, thank you so much for being here, and enjoy the rest of your workout.
I certainly will. Yeah, I'm in a gym, right? I'm in a gym. Thank you so very, very much. You have a great day. God bless you. God bless America.
God bless. God bless. Okay, so I want to talk to you about something that is readily available for you. You might have heard about lab-grown meat and mRNA being injected into our meat that you can buy at the grocery store. Well, Ted and I have found Switch to America with Shemaine. That's the name of it, switchtoamericawithshemaine.com. This is unbelievable steak. It's clean, no mRNA. And we keep saying that, you know, we go out to steak houses and ours is better. Our beef is better that we get to switchtoamericawithshemaine.com. Go to that website and someone from my Patriot team will give you a call back and tell you how to get the same beef Ted and I get delivered right to your door. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back with lots more.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Have you noticed that the skies are not really even blue anymore? There's chemtrails crisscrossing the atmosphere. And then there's something called, it's invisible 5G and Wi-Fi that's polluting our air. It might make you tired or have headaches or flu-like symptoms. EMF radiation could be making you sick. Thankfully, there's a solution. Silver woven clothing from Sparrow Gear can block EMF radiation and 5G from making you sick. Ted and I both have the Faraday bags and they work. Unplug to recharge with Sparrow EMF protection. Just go to sparrowgear.com and use the code FAITH to get 10% off. That's sparrowgear.com and the code is FAITH. Well, pro-Palestinian protesters have taken over college campuses across the U.S., setting up encampments on college grounds, wreaking havoc in university buildings, and committed horrid acts of anti-Semitism against fellow students and professors. And they've been brainwashed and paid to protest by people who hate this country. And right now, it seems like we're about to watch a terrifying outbreak of violence, especially at institutions like Columbia University. Yet many of these students don't even know what they're rioting about. Listen to this Columbia protester.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support.
And when these students are confronted about their actions, they refuse to take any responsibility. They're simply living in their own world with no consequences. Listen to yet another Columbia student.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative? Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
My colleague just came back. One
so this is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
Joining me live now, a Columbia University graduate and political columnist who's been covering this whole story very closely, Angie Wong. Angie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So is this the same Columbia University that you attended?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I'm embarrassed for the students going in. We just had a statistic come out that Columbia University had 36,000 students come through in this graduating year, but 14,000 of them had foreign visas. So I think that's what you're seeing here. It's the mix of people coming in with different values. And now that's taken over our campus, unfortunately.
So what have you witnessed as you've been covering this?
Well, what I saw, I was there for a reunion weekend 2 weekends ago, and it was relatively peaceful. They remained most of the protesters were quartered off in a quad, and they were making art projects. They were doing yoga. It was mainly peaceful. I even had coffee with some of the protesters. It was only about a week ago that the agitators kind of came through, and these are paid agitators. They are older. They're not students. They are essentially protest consultants. In fact, there was one report of a woman named Lisa Filthrin, and she's 63 years old, and she's known to be part of a far left group. And this is what she does. She's organized for decades these protests. So now she's in the mix. She was pushing Columbia students to go and break into Hamilton Hall, which is where the deans have their offices. She was pushing students to do what she would do, but she couldn't do it. This is wrong. This is clearly there are people backing it monetarily, and there are certainly other forces at work here.
Why does this remind me of the summer of 2020 with all the riots and the mainstream media's narrative that was it's a mostly peaceful protest, while in the background you saw police cars burning? Do you think that there might be another agenda besides this mass uprising on the surface?
I mean, I was saying this from the very beginning when I first saw the first few nights of flare guns and the drummer boy marching down the streets towards the university president's home. I said, is this the Summer of Love 2.0? Because it certainly feels like the same players involved. Same
yeah,
drummer boy, right?
It's unbelievable.
It's just different heartstrings.
Yeah, and I don't know when there's ever going to be accountability, but we're getting tired of this. And I know everybody watching, you know, these kids are in fear for their life, and the students and the professors too. We talk a lot about having free speech on this platform, but I think Florida Governor Ron DeSantis correctly described why what these students are doing doesn't fall within the free speech description. Take a listen.
But, you know, when you're chasing Jewish students around, when you're not letting a Jewish professor enter a building, when you're targeting people like that, that's not free speech. I mean, that's harassment. That violates appropriate conduct. And yet at Columbia, at Yale, all these places, those folks rule the roost. They do whatever they want. And these administrators and the presidents of these universities are weak. They're scared and they don't do anything. You know, you do that in Florida at our universities, we're showing you the door. You're going to be expelled when you're doing that stuff. And you know what? The minute people start to face consequences, you are not going to see this nonsense going on.
What are your thoughts, Angie?
Oh, there's our top gov back. No, absolutely right. I mean, all of this is wrapped up in free speech. Are you kidding me? We are hammering glass panels so that, you know, not we, they, to get into buildings. That's called trespassing. That's called burglary. That's called all sorts of crimes, right? And now they're occupying a building at Columbia. And, you know, what I love is that I'm loving seeing cops being cops again. Not so much in New York, but certainly in other places. like, for example, University of Texas and also UCLA, they're allowing cops to go in there and remove these guys. So I'm happy to see that, because you know what? They're about to have graduation in about 2 weeks, a lot of these colleges. And the ceremony is what these parents and grandparents are flying into town for. There's no way these university presidents can show that they have no control of their campuses.
It's unbelievable. How do you think the Biden administration should be responding to this?
Well, I think the Biden administration has largely stayed quiet. And this is something that is happening across the nation. It is really strange to me that he has a deputy secretary to speak for him because he can't take a position. Here's the thing. These kids missed out on their high school graduation 4 years ago because of COVID restrictions. They had Zoom graduations, and now they can't go to their graduation for college. This is terrible.
Yeah, and it's dangerous and it's life-threatening. And these poor kids, you know, they deserve, especially the parents, they've spent a lot of money on these colleges and universities and so-called education, but seems like it's just flat-out indoctrination.
That could be the case. It could be indoctrination. I'm not entirely sure what's going on these campuses anymore. What I do know is when I did speak to the students, they didn't know what they were doing. They were there because it was a hangout. It was a hookup. All their friends came out. They didn't have to study for finals week. It was the first couple of days of spring in New York. The weather was beautiful. That's what they were doing. They were coming out to party. This has nothing to do with what actually is going on in Gaza. They don't even know what's going on in Gaza for the most part. They just heard of this thing called October 7th, but they have no breath of what's been going on in the region for decades. That's the sad part. We're using students to be agents for the likes of George Soros, and it's terrible.
I know the answer to this, but why do you think that the mainstream media isn't covering this?
Well, it sells newspapers, right? I mean, every time you see flare guns and rioting and fights between cops and students, I mean, these are the moments, right, that journalists love to cover. Look at Kent State, right? And I'm sad that we might have to get to the point where there might be students killed. I mean, that is what we're leading up to, because there is nothing that's stopping students at all, even beyond, let's say, May 15th, when a lot of these schools are done and out. So I'm not sure if they're just going to stay in these encampments or the police are going to come in and clear it out. All I can tell you is that this is going to be our summer of love 2.0. And that's the sad part, because I don't see an end to this. And you know what? We saw it happening before with the George Floyd protests and the BLM. This is going to last throughout the summer and roll us into November 5th. Now, I don't know who hurts more on this, if it's Biden. I don't think Trump really gets hurt on this all that much. Biden needs to take a position. He's afraid to.
Yeah. Angie, how can people find you and follow you on social media?
Oh, you guys can follow me on X, Twitter, at Angie Wong. At Angie Wong. Very simple.
Angie, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you come back on and give us an update about what's really going on.
Will do, anytime.
Great. Thanks so much for being here. God bless.
Thank you.
Coming up next, an update on the lives of those devastated by the Lahaina fires last year. And then stay tuned, because later I'm going to share how you can get all my tips and tricks for being healthy, for recognizing toxic mold, for getting in shape and staying in shape. And we're going to even do a little Bible study. I'll show you how you can get involved. Stay tuned.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. You've heard of cancer-fighting foods, right? Some that make you sick and some that really help you and heal you. The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and veggies may actually lower your risk of cancer. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and veggies every day, but if you're like me, probably don't. Consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for health benefits, heart health, group, lung health, kidneys, and metabolism, even for your weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of Field of Greens. So Field of Greens won't prevent, cure, or treat cancer, but it's so powerful. It promises that at your next checkup, your doctor's going to notice improved health, or you get your money back. Go to fieldofgreens.com. I got you 15% off. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code FREEDOM. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code FREEDOM. Okay, do you remember just a few, eight months ago, we had beautiful Maui, Hawaii, was devastated by all those fires. Remember that? Seems like overnight, everybody just stopped talking about it. Maybe their silence is because the power company, whose largest shareholders are BlackRock and Vanguard, they were discovered to be at fault. It just seems a little suspicious. Jason Jones is a film producer, author, activist, popular podcast host, and human rights worker. He's president of the Human Rights Education and Relief Organization. His humanitarian efforts have aided millions in Afghanistan, Nigeria, and Ukraine, as well as pregnancy centers and women's shelters throughout North America. Jason is a senior contributor to The Stream and the host of The Jason Jones Show. He's also the author of three books, The Race to Save Our Century, The World is on Fire, and his latest, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. Joining me now, my friend, Jason Jones. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great, Shemaine. It's wonderful to see you.
I wanted to get all of that info in because you're so busy. I don't know how you do it all, but thank you for doing it all.
Quad espressos.
So let's talk about Maui. You lived in Hawaii and you're very familiar with what happened there. Some people think that there's no way the fires were caused intentionally. What do you think?
Well, you know, that we don't know. But what we definitely know is that there is a land grab that's taking place and that there's a conspiracy and that there's a cover up. There were laws that were passed weeks before the fire saying that if property was damaged by a fire, you couldn't rebuild there. There was the plan for the smart city. We're doing a documentary. In fact, we really want to talk to you about this because we know how much you care about Hawaii and how you've been fighting for clean water in Hawaii. You know, the state of Hawaii has been fighting battle after battle the past couple of years. But the real goal of my writing and the real goal of our film is to do two things. It's we need to find out who is responsible. But the most important thing is that we keep Lahaina local, that the Hawaiians and the Kama'aina, the immigrants, that for over a century, the immigrant communities that were knit together with the Hawaiian community to make the Lahaina that everybody knows and loves. Everyone from Lahaina who wants to stay in Lahaina should be able to stay in Lahaina. But right now, there are hundreds of families that are tired. They're holding on with a white-knuckled grip. But I hear from friends every day that family after family just gives up and moves to another island or to the mainland.
And that's exactly what they're hoping that they'll do, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the goal. That is the goal. I mean, this fire, if you see the report that came out from the Attorney General, they show you who's at fault without naming. They don't say it. They show it and they say, well, we really can't determine who's responsible. But according to the AG report, there was a morning fire and a PM fire, an AM fire and a PM fire in exactly the same place where Hawaiian Electric power lines fell and started a fire. So you have to believe either the fire department didn't completely put out the fire and it slowly rekindled and then spread, or that those power lines were re-energized for some reason. And there's evidence that they were re-energized. And that's actually what I believe because they were having trouble pumping water. So, but regardless, Hawaiian Electric either way is responsible. BlackRock is the largest owner of Hawaiian Electric. So at the end of the day, we need to hold who is responsible. And we need to keep the locals in Lahaina.
Yeah, absolutely. Why do you think, Jason, what can be the reason that the media stopped covering this when the residents of Lahaina need it the most? They need this message to get out there and nobody else is talking about it.
You know, you look at the coverage of Ukraine, for example, or Gaza and Lahaina. I was actually in Ukraine With my work at the Vulnerable People Project, we advocate for the most vulnerable people in the world facing genocide, democide, or trapped in war. That's what we do. So I was in Ukraine. Then I was with Christian leaders from Ukraine in Washington, D.C., lobbying and meeting with members of Congress on the plight of Christians in the occupied oblasts. And while I was there, one of my best friends, Dallas Carter, a Native Hawaiian leader, and he runs a ministry called Epic Ministries in the Hawaiian Islands, had pinged me about the fire. But I had a very packed day, and I was just afraid to really investigate, to read the text. So I said, let me finish my day and look at what's happening. When I discovered what happened in Lahaina, I got on the next plane that I could. So I was in Ukraine, D.C., and then in Lahaina. And the damage in Lahaina was worse than I saw on the front lines of Ukraine. It was unlike anything I had ever seen. It was absolutely heartbreaking. And in fact, it was like in a war zone. As we were driving through the burn zone, there was a woman barefoot in tatters, walking in circles, mumbling to herself, the types of things that I often see in conflict zones. She was traumatized. And to think that this is the United States of America. My organization was first on the ground. And to see that even the large NGOs took months to get set up and established, I think hundreds of millions of dollars were raised for the residents of Hawaii, of Lahaina. But how much money made it to the residents of Lahaina? There are only 13,000 residents. So you think the United States of America that could fund not only our countless wars around the world, but other countries' wars could rebuild this historic community of Lahaina and care for our own people.
It's really despicable to think that this government would have anything to do with that and to not treat its own citizens with the respect and the basic human comforts and rights that they deserve. Is it true that some of the people weren't allowed to go back and visit their homes for quite a while?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were keeping locals out of their property. You know, I want to go back. I love how your show opens with President Trump saying, relish the opportunity to be an outsider. You know, Shemaine, an outsider, either you're thrust to the outside by circumstances, for example, the families of Lahaina, or you choose to step from the inside to serve those who have been shoved to the outside. I really love that quote. And so to have you sharing your show and your platform, somebody with influence, to stand with the people of Lahaina who've been thrust out now. They are the outsiders. They feel abandoned. They feel forgotten. And I lived through the work of my organization, two of the biggest catastrophes in the history of the United States. We're the only organization left in Afghanistan serving, hiding and feeding and evacuating. Every week we are still getting out former Afghan allies from Afghanistan to save second and then finally third countries. That devastating collapse in Afghanistan, we've forgotten about that, right? We just set a country on fire and skipped away. Yeah. And then there's this catastrophe in Lahaina and we just look away. Under the same one president, we have two of the greatest catastrophes and the most embarrassing catastrophes, calamities in American history under the Biden administration. And then you compound that what we're seeing on college campuses today. This administration's a wreck. This election coming up in November is going to be very important, not just for at home, but for around the world. It is really quite sorrowful. I was just in Lahaina a couple of months ago. A member of my team was just there last week. And you know how it is when you experience a personal catastrophe, whether it's the loss of a spouse or a child, the hardest time isn't actually immediately because it doesn't feel real. It's in the months and years after the event that the real pain sets in. And I feel that's what's happening in Lahaina right now. The gravity of the tragedy is setting in. As you know, you love Lahaina. It was a historic town. It was one of the most historic communities in America. It was a community that was knit together by laborers brought from around the world, Philippines, Okinawa, Japan, China, Portugal, Cuba, brought together, and they knit together a wonderful community with the Native Hawaiians. People from around the world, Lahaina is probably one of the most beloved towns in the world. And so it's sad to think that a place where so many people around the world have an affinity to could just be forgotten.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I got about 30 seconds left. What do you think about the 15-minute city theory for Maui? I tried to research it before we got on. Everything is buried, and all you can find is, no, that's wrong. There's nothing. They were never planning on being a 15-minute city, but they were, right?
Yo, they were definitely planning on it being a smart city. Here's the real catastrophe. They've learned nothing. Do you know that they didn't maintain the brakes? The power line should be buried. They have hurricane force winds all of the time in fields of grass that were plantations, sugarcane plantations. The brakes weren't maintained. The lines weren't buried. Do you know they're stringing the lines up now? The governor of Hawaii is traveling the world blaming the fire on climate change. No, it was mismanagement. At the very least, it was you didn't maintain the brakes. You didn't release the water. Those power lines should have been buried decades ago. They're buried in the affluent neighborhoods. How is it you can't afford now we have $5 billion in damage. They've built 10 miles of rail in Hawaii, 10 miles of rail for $11 billion. You could have buried the power lines for much less than that. But they didn't learn. This is not a black swan event. They have hurricane force winds in Lahaina and in Maui all of the time. And now what are they doing? They're putting power lines up again rather than burying them.
Jason, I would love to continue this discussion, but my time's up here. I got to go. But thank you so much for sharing with us. I hope you can come back and especially tell us more about the documentary, too.
All right. Thank you, Shemaine.
All right. God bless. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. I've been in the health and fitness industry for 44 years, a long time. In fact, stay tuned for the end of this segment, and I'm going to share information about how you can join my wellness routine, my workout routines. But I've never met a protein bar that tasted good until I found Kingdom Candy. It's my new favorite on-the-go meal replacement. It's got natural ingredients like spinach, kale, turmeric, pink Himalayan sea salt. It's sugar-free, gluten-free, and zero trans fat. Go to shop.fmidr.com and use the code FAITH for a 15% discount. Shop.fmidr.com and the code FAITH for a discount. You know, many people are getting excited to see the new National World War I Memorial in Washington, D.C. Master sculptor Saben Howard has poured his heart and soul into the newest sculpture named A Soldier's Journey, and it's the focal point piece at the memorial. Howard has created five scenes and 38 magnificent human figurines that capture the emotions of war. The memorial is 10 feet high and almost 60 feet long, and it's going to be revealed to the public this September. America's Michelangelo joins us now to talk to us about his projects and experience he's had creating these figures. Saben, welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me on.
So you're known as the greatest living sculptor. How did you get into sculpting in the first place? What inspired you?
I was a juvenile delinquent, and I had to find something that would put me on the right path. And at age 19, I decided that I would quit my job, and I walked to a payphone and called the art school in Philadelphia and asked for the admissions department. They told me to bring my portfolio in, and I said, "What is a portfolio?" And I went over there, and here's the story that I think is going to help your audience understand this better. I started at zero. I could not draw. A girlfriend then could draw better than I could. And I got a book called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, which allowed me to realize my potential as a human being. And you change your perception of how you see the world, and you read things through a geometry that goes back to a traditional way of seeing the world, and that's Western civilization, that's the Renaissance, that's the Greco-Roman, you know, history that was handed down to us. And I'm here to resurrect that and put it into a memorial that's 60 feet in bronze. It will outlive us all. It's 150 yards from the White House. I used 6 or 7 veterans, all of them as life models. They all had suffered from PTSD, and their faces and what they experienced in war are on that wall. It's not only for honoring the 116,000 Americans that died in this war, but it's also to honor the veterans of Afghanistan and Iraq and Vietnam and the Korean War, because it's their story. This has never been done before. It's a story about a father who leaves his family, his wife and his daughter, and joins the Brotherhood of Arms, enters into battle, and from this horrific ordeal is shell-shocked. And that's it. This is an allegory as well for how the world changed from a divine order to one of alienation. It's the modern age. And he returns home and hands his daughter the helmet. And she looks into that helmet and divines the future, which is the next generation, World War II. So this is a story that anybody could understand. It's a film that as you walk from left to right, it unfolds in front of the visitor.
Wow, that just sounds unbelievable. And thank you so much for doing that. It's much needed in this day and age. How long did it take you to create that?
Well, look, we started it in 2015. It was a global design competition. It was blind. And there were 350 global design entries, and we won that. And that now it's 2016. So 2016, the full year is spent, I made iterations. I made 25 iterations for a Centennial Commission, took over 12,000 images using life models, dressed in uniforms, actual uniforms from World War One, and then we had to go through the agency approval in Washington, D.C., and that's in itself, that's a huge thing to get through. We got through that in a year and a half. Then while we're doing all this, we had to fund the park, we had to fund the sculpture, and this is, it's an absolute miracle that this got through the Commission of Fine Arts. I refused to change any of the composition, and I really stuck to my guns, held the line there. And it did not pass through the committee easily. And at the end of the day, it was the vision that I had when I began it. I want to reclaim art that elevates us, that speaks well about us. It's not about ironic things. It's about our potential as human beings. It's about rising to the occasion. And this piece is sorely needed at this moment because we're going through a very destructive moment historically with the ideology that Western civilization is of the past. It's an antiquated history. Well, I'm here to tell the public it is not, and I prove it with my calling card, which is a 60-foot-long bronze wall with 38 figures sculpted in the tradition of Michelangelo.
Well, wow.
There you have it.
That is absolutely amazing. When is this going to be available in September?
September 13th. Here's the cool part, too. We're doing a candlelit vigil at 7:19. Why 7:19? That's when the sun sets. Mm. And I will ring a bell that was comes from England, that came from World War One, and it's to honor the departed and to honor also those that are still with us that have served for our country.
Wow. Well, Sabin, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you for what you've done, what you're continuing to do. I know you've got other projects coming up. How can people find you and follow you on social media?
Well, thank you. You can find me at Sabin, S-A-B-I-N, SabinHoward.com, and Sabin Howard Sculpture on Instagram. And
awesome.
I just want to add, my wife Tracy is doing a documentary called Heroic. We had a video rolling the whole time in the studio. That'll be coming out in the spring of 25.
Oh, that's so exciting. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You know, we all take simple things for granted, and you know, it's something as easy as just drinking water. Where did that water come from? What is in the water? I was at somebody's house and the water just tasted funny. We can't trust that anymore. Maybe there's a little arsenic, maybe some pharmaceutical drugs, mRNA, yuck. I found Sentry Wellness System that removes harmful toxins and enriches water with essential nutrients. It's much healthier and cheaper than buying plastic water bottle. Check out Sentry H2O and use the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. SentryH2O.com and the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. You know, there's so much going on that's so heavy right now, and it's really important to relax and laugh. Laughter is great medicine. I've been a fitness instructor for 44 years. Yes, since 1980. And I've been on that roller coaster ride of weight loss, weight gain, especially with when I was pregnant. I gained 35 pounds and then I got the freshman 15 in college, and it's just up and down and up and down. I figured out how to lose weight and maintain my weight without giving up my favorite foods. So beginning tonight, I'm sharing all my secrets in a 2-week online training. You're going to get 14 of my favorite workouts and recipes and a journal, and we'll do Bible study. You'll have 3 coaching calls with me and our very own community of support. It's not on Facebook, but Telegram. So if you want to find out more, register on my website, ShemaineNugent.rocks. We get started tonight. It's not too late. It's 2 weeks to reset your mind, body, and spirit. Guys, don't forget, Esther 4:14 reminds us, perhaps you were born for such a time as this, and you were. God bless you. Thanks for being here. I'll see you next week.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.